This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you have made us for yourself, so that our hearts are restless till they rest in you. Grant us purity of heart and strength of purpose, that no passion may hinder us from knowing your will, no weakness hinder us from doing it. But in your light may we see light clearly, and in your service find perfect freedom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go back to the 1950s for a moment. And in the state of Indiana, for college basketball, they had one tournament, regardless of the size of your college. There was a particular small college that year that had quite a talented team. They made it all the way to the state final game. The coach, knowing that the team from this small town was not used to playing in these huge, big arenas, brings his team of Hoosiers to that particular basketball court and tries to help them to understand that they can do this. Here's what happens.
Into the backboard. What is it?
15 feet.
15 feet. Strap, put Ollie on your shoulders.
Measure this from the rim. Buddy? How far?
10 feet.
10 feet.
I think you'll find it's the exact same measurements as our gym back at Hickory. Okay, let's get dressed for practice.
By measuring and showing them it's the same as their court back home, he wants them to understand really that it's just another game, that they can do this. All they need to do is do what they've been doing all along. The gospel that we just heard, when you put it in the context of what we heard last week, really gives us the notion that as long as we stay in the game, to follow out the analogy, as long as we are going to continue in this discipleship following Jesus, that it is not an overwhelming task. Difficult? Yes. But God is there with us always. Look at this Peter. This is the same Peter who last week was the one who jumps and says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus says, "And you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." And then we expect them to ride off into the sunset and they live happily ever after. And in the very next verses, Peter messes up. Peter has his own notion as the way this is all supposed to come down, and it is not God's plan. And so for Peter, one of the early church fathers, a man named Origen, puts it this way. When Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," what he really meant was, "Peter, your place is behind me, not in front of me. It's your job to follow me in the way I choose, not to try to lead me in the way you would like me to go." Is that not the case I find in my life, we find in our spiritual journeys all along the way? God, this isn't the way I planned it. If I was writing the script, it would be a lot different. But the point becomes, as Jesus makes with Peter, as he does with us, we have a limited understanding. And as long as we're going to continue to follow behind Jesus with him in the lead, God will be with us and God is going to take care of us, but it's not going to necessarily be the way that we planned it to be. We know this too true in our lives. I mean, how many of us? I mean, when I was ordained 29 years ago today, and I tell you what I thought, I was so pumped up with what God was going to do with me in my life and the Roman Catholic Church. We were going to change the world. And I found out pretty quick that God had a plan for me, but that wasn't it. Think of any time you take a job and you get your job description and it has all of these bullet point duties, and what does it always say at the end? "And other duties as assigned." How often do we find that those other duties as assigned is what ends up consuming most of our day? This week here on this campus, 3 air conditioners broke. It looks like we need a new roof on the parish hall. The bathroom in the back, the faucet's broken. We can't figure out how to open it up to put the batteries in. And on it goes with your life as well. And we can just sit, and the exhaustion and the frustration could get to us to a point, and we just have to slow down and just let Jesus give us that little course correction. "I'm with you day by day. I will lead you." Look at what happens with Peter. I mean, we see last week, "You're the Messiah, the Son of God." This week, "Get behind me, Satan." Later on, he's going to be there when they want to arrest and hurt Jesus and lap off the ear of the high priest slave. And then about 10 minutes later, he's around a campfire and he says, "I don't even know this guy." Then later on, Jesus is being crucified and he's hiding in the wings. And yet 50 days after the resurrection, he's preaching about his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was crucified but rose from the dead. And suddenly 3,000 people want to be baptized. This Peter is up and down, back and forth. And it's like our life as well. The good news here for us is that as long as we stay in the game, as long as we are willing to stay in relationship with our rabbi, as our rabbi's disciple, he's always going to give us another opportunity. Second chance day. We used to play wiffle ball, and if the catcher didn't catch the ball when you swung and missed, you got a second chance. Well, with God, the catcher never catches the ball. We always have another chance. Look at Peter. Maybe that's why Jesus chose Peter. He knew that Peter was one, as much as he messed up, he's going to stay in the game. And those course corrections continue throughout his life. But he continues to stay and following Jesus to the end. And his end is going to be just like Jesus, except he's on a cross upside down. The first reading that you can read, we don't do it today because it's Fourth Sunday, but it's a story of Moses. And we heard about Moses' birth last week, Well, Moses, same kind of thing that goes on. Moses ends up, he sees one of the Egyptians hit a Hebrew slave, his countryman. He gets upset, so he kills that Egyptian. He's got to run away. He runs away across the Red Sea. He becomes an exile. He's in hiding. He goes to a well. He meets this lady, Zipporah. He asks Zipporah's father if he can marry this woman. Yes, he gets married. He starts to become a shepherd. And let me tell you, he's living a good life. He's having a good time. And in today's reading, what happens is God speaks to him in the famous story of the burning bush. Now, Moses was happy. Moses was in a good place, pretty comfortable. And God says, I see the suffering of my people. I see how they're being mistreated in slavery. And all of that Moses knew because he had experienced it. But then what does God say? And I'm going to use you to be the one that's going to set him free. You're going to have to go back. And Moses is like, oh, come on. I'm supposed to go back and tell them that a burning bush spoke to me and they're going to believe me and they're going to want to follow me? Just tell them I am who I am. As long as you are following me, it's all going to work out. And so Moses is called to go beyond himself, to leave his comfort zone. And there's another course correction that continues to happen for him throughout his leadership as well. The same for us. How many of us, when we get into a job, when we get into a relationship, when you get into a marriage and you find out this isn't what I thought it was going to be, you become a parent. This isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. You get divorced and you decide, I am always going to take the high road and I'm going to do what's best for the kids. I'm never going to speak ill of that person or whatever, yet you find out it doesn't happen on the other side. And it becomes difficult, very difficult. We have sickness in our lives. We have people die unexpectedly. And we say to God, just like Jeremiah, Lord, you duped me. You duped me, and I let myself be duped. And God comes back and is saying to Moses and saying to Peter and saying to us, just line up behind me, follow me. We'll take this day by day, and we stay in relationship, and this is all going to work. The best analogy I can come up with for this is, say you've got an old friend, and you haven't seen that friend for a long time. And out of the blue, suddenly you have time with that friend, person to person, face to face. You don't care where you're going to go to dinner. You don't really care what activities you're going to do. You just want to be with that person. And what God is telling Moses, and Jesus is telling Peter here, is, you stay with me, and the rest will work out in God's time. So there's so much good news here. Number one, when we mess up, we always got another chance. God never gives up on us. And number two, the task that can seem so difficult, so impossible, God says, we will do this together, and all will be okay. It does call for a change in us. It does call for us to be different. You know, there's the great story told. We're going to celebrate, for today we celebrate St. Augustine. Great story about Augustine. You know, he lived a wild first half of his life. He was the playboy of all playboys. And he has a conversion experience. He's changed forever. He's walking down the street, and one of his old flames is walking towards him. He sees her, so he turns and starts walking away. She's aghast, and she calls out, Augustine, it is I, it is I. And he turns around to her, and he says, but it is not me, it is not me. I'm changed. It's different. I'm on this journey. And what beautiful words of that prayer that I think should be our mantra. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. He gets on this journey and it continues forever. The other saint we're going to celebrate this week is Saint Aidan, great Celtic saint that we are privileged to have as a part of our pilgrimage experience. And the story goes that the monks in Iona hear a call from the king that he has been converted and he wants them to come to convert the people of North England in Northumbria. So they send this one guy, and he comes back, and he is just angry. He says they're mean. They are mean-spirited, bad people. Nobody could do anything to convert those people. And there's Aidan sitting around the table, and there's a tug in his conscience. And he's afraid to speak up because he knows that other duties as assigned are going to end up including this. But he hears that voice so strongly, and so he speaks up, and he says, maybe if you had been a little bit more hospitable, maybe if you had done a little bit more listening to them, maybe if you had fed them the gospel like a mother feeds milk to a baby, maybe you'd still be there and they would be converted. And of course the monks say, well, Aidan, if you think you can do it better, you go. And he goes. And the rest is history. The whole north of England is converted to Christianity, and to this day, Holy Island Lindisfarne is one of the great holy places on all the earth. A willingness to listen, to disciple, to follow. This is that to which we are called. So we're all embarking on a new year here together. Students have begun their classwork. You know, you get so excited to see your friends and you get back into school and then suddenly they hand out the syllabi. I think that's the right word. And you suddenly realize, boy, this isn't going to be so much fun. Teachers, you realize what's up against you in our jobs as we get back into season. Well, slow down. Just listen to the voice of a loving God who doesn't say, get behind me, Satan, in an evil sense, but says, just line up behind me. I got you covered. And if we stay in that relationship, it will all work out. Amen.